Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And happy Mother's Day. Those of you who are mothers, and I'm going to start with, sometimes on Mother's Day, I give kind of a gory image, and I always feel bad about that, but I promise it fits what I'm talking about. So, you know, one of my favorite movies and books, I'm a nerd, so I apologize up front, is J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. Any fans of Lord of the Rings here today? All right, great. And it's been about 5 to 10 years in which I have watched the trilogy Lord of the Rings. And I did that this last month and showed certain parts to Kaya, our oldest. She's 9 years old. I figured this was the time to show it to her. And what an epic story that is, Lord of the Rings, if you watch the movie. Tolkien is a Christian, by the way. That story has... Well, the movie has amazing cinematography. I think a lot of it was filmed in New Zealand, but it shows beautiful snow-capped mountains and valleys in which brooks and rivers flow down from the top of those mountains. And it takes you to dark places, like inside volcanoes and inside of caves. It's really fantastic, the cinematography. And the music is fantastic. It just gets your emotions at just the right time when a certain character comes on screen. Everything's just right. And the characters are fantastic. Moms, you're just going to love these characters. Creepy spiders that are big and they come after you. Don't you just love that? And orcs, these really odd creatures that live in the depths of the earth. Oh, ladies, aren't you just, you're so excited. You want to watch it now. Got your plans after church. Watch Lord of the Rings. There's wizards and these sorts of things. It's an epic story, really, about good versus evil. It's very clear. There's good and there's evil along the way. And this time as I watched it, there was something that struck me. Tolkien was getting at something when he wrote this story. And I think what he was after was this. Friendship. Friendship really matters. The story is about just a few characters that are deep and abiding friends. Some hobbits, they're kind of like rabbit-like characters, short, but kind of human as well. Some human beings, as well as an elf and a troll. And they face insurmountable odds. They face evil at its worst. They face death itself. But what sees them through their journey is not weapons. It's not smarts and intellect. It's a deep friendship between them. Lord of the Rings. A Christian message. J.R.R. Tolkien. Check it out. This morning, I think Jesus is getting at a similar point here as he meets his disciples in John chapter 15. You see, they've been on an epic journey so far in John's gospel. They've gone to mountains, the Mount of Olives. Well, it's not as high as the Rockies. Mount of Olives isn't that tall, but they've been to the mountains. They've been to the seaside village. That's a place called Capernaum. And they had traveled and they had focused their ministries right there in Capernaum. They have gone to the city in the valley. We could say that that's Cana in Galilee. They had gone to all sorts of different places. They had faced stiff resistance. The Pharisees were after them, trying to thwart Jesus' plan to bring salvation to all people. And here in John 15, they had a bunch to think about of what was coming in front of them. In John 14, Jesus had said that the end is coming, that he would leave, that he would ultimately die. And then in front of these disciples, we don't have it in our text, but if you read verses 18 through 21, Jesus says, you are going to be hated. You are going to be persecuted. You are going to have a tough time, my disciples. What is going to help them through this time? Friendship with each other. A deep and abiding friendship. Now, some of you this morning may feel with your life that it's been pretty chaotic. You may feel like there are insurmountable odds. You may be facing a health diagnosis. And you may think the children's church answer, that the answer is just, all I need in life is God. Now, that's true. Don't turn me into the seminary. We need God, absolutely. You need Christian friends. You need them desperately. Jesus says, greater love knows no one than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he says, if you do my commandments. You are my friends, Jesus says. Practice friendship, he goes on basically to say. Also in John 16 and 17, practice friendship with each other. It's about deep friendship. Caleb's running our screen here today, and I want to talk about three aspects of deep friendship. I'm not talking about Facebook friendship, right? That's surface level. I'm talking about deep friendship. I want to throw out here this morning. Caleb, can you advance that slide one more? All right. How do we get deep and abiding friendship here at Peace Lutheran? I'm going to pull from the treasure trove of friendship, which is the book of Proverbs. How are we going to have deep and abiding friendship? Here's the first word, three C's. The first one is constancy. We get that from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. Constancy is being available, loving someone at all times. When things are going well, you're with them. When things are not going so well, you're in with them. When you're having an agreement, you're there with them. When you have a disagreement, you're with them. That is constancy. Now, some of you might be thinking, Pastor, that's nice. That's a great idea, constancy. But I don't have the time for that. I'm busy. I got a lot going on with my life. Now, if you're saying that this morning, and constancy seems like a really difficult thing to do, guess what? There are a lot of people that would agree with you today. Robert Putnam was he's still living. He's a sociologist, and he studied why the world is more disconnected today. And one of the things that he studied was how are people connecting compared to the 1950s and 60s? You may have heard his research. He did a book called Bowling Alone. Check it out. It's just fantastic to hear some of these truths that are just happening in today's society. We just simply don't have time for each other. Things like this. The amount of families that are involved in PTA organizations in the 1950s, 50% of families... 50% of families were involved in a PTA at their local school. Today, guess what that number is? Any guesses? The average family? 15%. 15%. Big drop. Now, how about this one? Here's another research stat. Friendship clubs like Rotary, Miles and Rotary Lindy's, the president of the Rotary. I'm a Rotarian too. But here's the thing. Sad news, Lindy. Sad news, Mal. And you guys know this, Rotary, being involved in social friendship clubs in the 1960s to today, decline of 60%. 60%. Now, how about this? How about family dinners from the 1960s? Decline of 45%. How about just having a friend over to maybe watch a game? Down 35% from the 1960s. And in the research, Putnam went on to say, what causes all this? And the overriding thing that caused all this was there just simply was no time. Time was taken for commuting. Time was taken for watching screens. Time was taken for working more. My friends, how can we have abiding friendships, not just surface level friendships, deep friendships, if we don't have time and constancy? So the book of Proverbs says constancy is a part of deep friendship. Caleb, go ahead and advance it one more there. Now we come to a second C. That is candor. Whoa, what does that mean? Proverbs 27:6 says this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ooh, that's deep. What is that saying? Faithful are the friends are the wounds of a friend. In other words, we can get into a relationship with a friendship with someone in which their corrective words can be healthy and good for us and move us in a better direction. In fact, we can have supportive accountability with a friend. That's the Bible's picture of friendship. Not just flattery to get along with someone, but candor with a friend. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Now, some of you might be thinking, Pastor, hold on here. I can't have candor because how could I really trust another person? Trust that they would say something that would be better for me in my life. How is the world doing with interpersonal trust? What do you guys think? Do you think people are trusting each other more than they used to? You think that's happening? Any thoughts on that? You know, where are you thinking about that? I'm seeing no research. All right. Out of Oxford University, Pew Research. Here's some interesting statistics. They surveyed people and asked this question. Are you generally trusting of other people? Generally. We're not talking like wholehearted. Are you generally trusting of other people? If you're from Norway and Finland, congratulations. Any Scandinavians here? Lutherans are... Oh, all right. Good. Good news for all of you. Guess what? If you're from Scandinavia, 60 to 70% of people from Norway, Finland say, yeah, I generally trust other people. Now, how about Brazil and Colombia? Any Brazilians and Colombians? The research says that only 6 to 10% of Brazilians and Colombians generally trust others. Now, the United States, guess where we are right now? 31%. Only 31% of people actually trust other people. That number used to be 50%. Does this surprise you in any way? Research went on to ask about government. How do you trust the government? I'm not entering that one, but I'll just tell you what it was. 1950, 72% of Americans trusted the government. Right now, 18%. All right, so the Bible says with friendship, candor is really important. How can you have candor if you don't trust other people? How do we do that? That's really hard to do. See, the Bible has a high bar for friendship. It's not just clicking a mouse and saying, I'm a friend with you. It's high. Caleb, can you click for the next slide? And then it comes to counsel. A friend, if you're in a deep relationship, gives you counsel. And this comes from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, a popular verse, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. In other words, you can get into a relationship in which you can be vulnerable and share your weaknesses. And by doing so, you kind of sharpen each other and things go in a better way into the future. By the way, Jesus practiced counsel. You know, in our text today in John chapter 15, Jesus essentially says, my friends, you, my disciples, you know everything that I've talked about with my Father. Jesus was vulnerable with his disciples. Now, with the crowds, he gave miracles and teachings, but with his disciples, he was vulnerable and showed weakness. He cried over Lazarus. He explained his mission and what he would go, do, and accomplish. Now, what you're saying here this morning is, Pastor, counsel? To go to other people and share a vulnerability? That's weakness. I don't want to do that. And if I do that, they're going to give me the riot act. They'll tell me what I need to do and mind my P's and Q's. My friends, too often in life, we avoid these three C's. Constancy, candor, and counsel. Is it any wonder why our friendships are not deep? They're fairly surface level. And we are kind of on a journey like Lord of the Rings. Challenges are coming all at us from all different angles, and lost dreams over the last year. Difficulties surround us. And Jesus says today to us, the way through it, you can't just say, I believe in God. That's all I need to do in my life. Jesus says, build Christian friendships that are deep. Now, of course, it's important to believe in God. That's not what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying, though. Building deep and abiding friendships on the journey that we're on. We're kind of like on a Lord of the Rings journey. It's possible for you. It's possible for you because guess what? Jesus came to be your friend. If you can't do these three things, it's hard to do. Know this, Jesus came to do them for you. To give you the strength that you have a friend. Greater love is no more than this, that a man lays his life down for a friend. You are my friends if you keep my commands. See, Jesus was in the perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the Lutheran Church, we teach that everything that the Father did, the Son knew about. There are no secrets. Everything that the Holy Spirit did, Jesus knew. In fact, the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus. And Jesus points back to the Holy Spirit, the three in one, a beautiful relationship. Jesus, so to speak, descended down from that perfect relationship to find a friend in you. He's your friend. If you don't have any friends today, you have one in Jesus. Constancy. He's with you wherever you go, even in your last breath. In our Bible study today, we talked about a man that was dead and in a cemetery, Jesus met him in that place. Lazarus, I'm with you. Jesus practices candor. He doesn't just say nice fluffy things and says, I love you. He says, I love you, but he also challenges you to be your very best. There's candor with Jesus Christ. And Jesus, finally, Jesus gives counsel. The book of Hebrews calls Jesus the great high priest because he can sympathize with our every weakness, our every struggle. In other words, we can go to him. Not like the high priest in the Old Testament where you can only see him once a year. You can go to Jesus and share anything that you need. He's available and he's approachable. And to seal the deal that he's your friend, he went to the cross to die for your sins, to show that he's completely for you no matter what. You have a friend in Jesus. Outreach strategy. You know, the early church didn't have an outreach strategy, I don't think. Now, the book of Acts talks about it. It says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. It says this in Acts chapter 1. There's really not an outreach strategy. In the last 100 years, Christians have come up with all sorts of outreach strategies. Think of this, an altar call, tent revival meetings, seminars on how to increase your church, outreach programs, James D. Kennedy, how to dialogue evangelism. All this happened in the last 100 years. And in my thinking, there's no better approach than the first 100 years in the Christian church. And what did they do? They loved each other. They loved each other. Outsiders saw it. In fact, one outsider who was a historian, wasn't a Christian, said in like right around 55 AD, I'd have to look it up. He said this. He said, Christians are so strange and weird people. And then 10 years later, that same writer said this. Boy, you know what? I want to be one of them. They love each other. I want that. What if our church took on that outreach strategy? Instead of saying about an amazing outreach program, all we did was just tell outsiders about how much we're loved at this church. You are dearly loved at this church. If you just shared, boy, they wrote a card to me. They brought me meals. They called me. They wrote me a card, whatever it may be. Let's be deeper friends. Let's practice deeper friendship. And thereby fulfill Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15. Be friends with one another. Amen.